RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Noel Josephson is the co-founder and chair of Ceres Organic, which began over 40 years ago. Ceres is the Roman goddess of the harvest, in case you didn't know. And we've invited Noel on this morning to discuss Fizanza's proposal to change the definition of GE and GMO foods ahead of the deadline for submissions, which is tonight, as you're hearing this, and to find out what the market and consumers want from their food supply. And Noel is with us right now. Noel, thanks for coming on.
You're a Paul. Thank you for having me.
So you've been meeting, Noel, with other groups concerned about this proposal. How have those meetings gone and what have people been saying?
I think the main thing is in the organic movement, we're concerned. The regulations affect organics and organic consumers more than anybody else. We're not being consulted. And I think generally, people don't know this is happening.
I think you're right about that. Not being consulted, though, really?
The organic industry has not been consulted directly, no.
I would have thought you were, or that industry would want to be one of the first stops for consultation, given that it adds $1 billion, we're told, to our economy every year.
Well, I think this is an oversight in looking at the consequences of what we're doing. Our primary economy is hugely important to us. It's what our lifestyle's built around in New Zealand. And our proposition to the rest of the world is that we produce the best food, which we do. We're world leading. And here we have a technology coming along that's challenging that. We're a country that produces top quality food. We're not producing low value commodities where a race to the bottom in price is important.
There seems to have been a bit of sidestepping going on here. It from what we've heard as we've been sort of debating and discussing this, that there's been this tweaking in the definition of what is GMO or GE. And it seems now the new argument is that genetic editing is kind of just a fast-track version of what nature does. So therefore, it's not technically GE or GMO. What do you say to that?
Firstly, I'm not a genetic scientist, but what genetic scientists say, including one in New Zealand, Professor Jack Heineman, who's a genetic scientist in Christchurch, says they're all genetic technologies, and it doesn't matter whether you're taking out a gene or putting in a gene, you're still creating a novel organism.
Yeah, we've had him on this program. That's pretty well what he said. There seems to be a lot of enthusiasm, though, the politicians, the science community really pushing for this, aren't they?
You have to think who's behind this science community. I mean, that there's a lot to gain for agri-tech and input providers, international companies that own the IP to this. They have a lot to gain. But New Zealand consumers are the losers in this. We don't get a right to choose. And I think that's the prime thing. For me, is actually our right to choose.
And that comes down to labelling, does it?
Well, I think it's a whole lot of things. It starts with regulation, oversight, and finally labelling, none of which are going to exist with these or proposed to exist with these new gene technologies. I think that's, I think as a consumer of food, and I believe across our society, there are a lot more people becoming conscious of what's in their food and carefully choosing what they eat. I think they have a right to know.
Yeah, it seems, though, that that's being kind of skipped over as if it doesn't matter. How do we explain that, do you think? Is there a bias towards one sector at the expense of the other, do you think? And again, your thoughts on why that would be?
Well, I think it's I think it's the science that's delving into an area they don't fully really understand, and in the process of doing so, are trampling on our rights.
Yeah, but if you don't understand something, you don't make out like you do, right? I mean, it's risky.
Well, I think here I would go to say, across society, including within the science community, there's not a clear understanding of the boundaries of what our science cover. I could give you an example, for instance.
Please do. Yeah, thanks.
We have a wonderful science that knows all about the physical world and gives us all the wonderful technologies we have, but its boundary is the physical world. And when it crosses into life, it's into a realm it doesn't know. And an example of that would be, we know when we build a building, we have to stay within the ratio of the base of 1 to a height of 10. And all our tallest buildings across the world are within that ratio of a base of 1 to a height of 10. Otherwise, they're subject to physical laws like gravity and wind shear. Mm. Alongside that, we have a traditional wheat stalk growing, which grows in the ratio of 1 to 400. It's top heavy with grain. It can sway in the wind and bend right over and come back up straight. It defies all the physical laws we know.
Well.
And our science can't explain that. When the difference between the two is the building is dead and the wheat stalk is living. When the wheat stalk dies, it's completely subject to physical laws we understand. While it's living, we don't have the laws to understand it. So I see science delving into a world we don't understand.
Yeah, that playing around with nature. Philosophically, it kind of feels, well, wrong to me. Yeah.
I think inherently we have a feeling it's wrong, but we haven't quite come to the point of understanding what that is.
Why do you think it's so easy to persuade the policymakers and everyone around this that it's such a good thing?
You'd have to ask them that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I have tried to ask them that, and they just say, well, you know, everyone else is doing it. We're going to be missing out, and we've got buffer zones and, you know, slam dunk done. But, I mean, it's not a very high-resolution response, you know.
Well, I think it's not taking all the factors into account. And for me, the two prime factors here are, one, what our economy is based on, which is high-quality food, and I see this as lowering the quality of that food, and two, the rights of all the people, the rights of us to choose, the right for me to know that I'm feeding my family good food, and I know that... I know it's not an experiment that I'm, you know, feeding something to them that could be not good for them.
Yeah, no, look what people are eating every day, though, these days.
Well, that's
it's hardly
choice.
Even food. It's hardly,
that's
well,
their
I guess,
choice.
Yeah.
But if my choice is that I want to eat good, healthy food, and I don't want to know that somebody's playing around with the the genes of this food, and they do make mistakes. They can't predict everything that will be, is the outcome of what they've done. It is possible. It is possible that you damage the DNA. It is possible you change the genome in playing around with it. It is possible that you might introduce an allergy or a toxin into the plant. It is possible.
We've talked about engagement with the organic sector, not much you told us, and what this industry is worth to us. Traceability is really important, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the organic industry, organic sector across the world had the first fully traceable food system. So any certified organic food item you pick up can be traced back to the farm.
Yeah.
It came from. And on top of that, you can know everything that's happened to that food along the way.
Well, we do that already, don't we? And it's well accepted. Like coffee is an example. People like to know where their coffee comes from.
Yes, yes.
Because they want to know that it hasn't been, you know, produced by some slave somewhere.
Yes. Like that's something people are interested more and more. They want to know about the provenance of their food. There's also cultural reasons why they want to know about their food.
Yeah.
And preserve preserve their culture with the identity of their food.
We've talked about labeling. Liability is an interesting one as well, because I believe under these rules being discussed, changes, it's pretty loose around liability. Is that your understanding?
Yes. We as citizens of New Zealand are carrying all the risk. The liability should rest with those that are experimenting, changing things. That's where liability normally rests. Why is it different in this case?
Well, one could say or question that because they know there's a risk. And if it goes rogue, liability in that case would be industry destroying potentially.
Yes, I think that's the case.
Which rings bells, right? This rings alarm bells right there.
It does. And I think a lot of the GE free movement in New Zealand has, over the last few years, been working with local councils to build into their general plans provision that if you introduce a genetic modification into the environment, you put a genetically modified plant into the soil and grow it there, then you have to carry all the consequences. So ratepayers don't bear the costs.
You can't socialise the losses. That's really what that is.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
That's exactly what it is.
And then there's the issue of intellectual property. You know, who owns what? Do corporations end up owning the actual food, the food chain, everything from grow to supermarket? And can anyone grow anything else? I mean, raises all these questions. What are your concerns around intellectual property in this?
I think the organic movement has always had a concern about that. And there's certainly been cases. There's a widely known case in Western Australia where an organic farmer suffered from wind contamination of his property. He lost his organic status, but also in cases, particularly in America, you have non-GMO farmers that have found through drift that seeds come into their crops, and then the IP owners want them to make a payment.
Which is like a shakedown, really, isn't it? I've been shaken down.
but somewhere legally.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, when Judith Collins comes on this radio station as the Science and Innovation Minister and talks about buffer zones, well, there are plenty of examples around where the buffer zone didn't work, right?
Well, I'd like to know how a buffer zone works for a bee.
Yes. Yeah. Buffer the bee.
Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of maintaining, well, you might have just answered that question right there, but it puts at risk, doesn't it, organic certification when you have this technology out of the lab?
Yes, it does. Very much so. And with organic agriculture, what we're trying to do is work in harmony with nature. And here we have a technology coming along that's trying to interrupt that. And we have a strong disagreement with that.
I think you've just hit, Noel, you've just hit on the absolute crux of it. It's two ways of viewing the world, isn't it, in the end?
Yes, it is.
That is being on the side of nature. We can't help that. We're part of it. Or, I don't know, trying to disrupt it, trying to modify it. Actually, not respecting nature. Would I be right in saying
that? Yes, absolutely right. Not respecting nature and with a mindset that humankind can control everything. And I don't believe you can control nature, that you have to work with nature.
We don't even know if nature senses, I mean, some people might think this is a little out there, but senses what's going on and thinks, okay, we're not having this. The hammer's coming down.
Well, isn't that what's happening with climate change? Isn't that nature reacting to us, saying, no, we've disrupted the rhythms in nature so much, we've thrown it out of balance, and now what we're experiencing is the consequence of that. I don't know if you've heard of Earth Overshoot Day.
No, I haven't.
It's a measure of when the Earth is, the humanity as a whole, or each country as a whole, crosses the boundary of the Earth's ability to cope with our activity. Mm. So the Earth has an ability to regenerate itself.
Mm.
And you see that with a weed appearing in your garden. That's the first stage of nature trying to bring its an ecosystem back together. But our activity on the Earth, across the Earth as a whole, is that we need 1.8 Earths currently to support us. In New Zealand, it's 3.3 Earths. So Earth Overshoot Day is the day in the year when we've finished using our share of the Earth's resources. And for New Zealand, that's in April, mid-April sometime.
Pretty early on in the year.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if I wanted to hear that, Noel, but all right. Now, the other thing is, and to wind up, it seems that what Fassanz is proposing, this is happening globally, pretty well the same. A few little local tweaks, as usual. But this is a march, a global march towards this, right? And we're now in our part of the world.
Yes.
We're involved in it now.
And yes, I understand that. And so we agree there should be a review of our situation. We don't agree there should be uncontrolled release of genetically modified organisms with anything that has to do with these new genetic technologies. We believe there should be regulation, there should be oversight, and there should be labelling. And it's our right to have labelling.
Yeah.
Our absolute right.
Should we even be doing it, though? Now, there's a question. In the first place.
Well, it might have its place in some fields.
Medical
is usually, for instance. Yeah. It doesn't have its place in the environment which we all share. And one of the principles within the organic movement is care, the environment such that we leave it for future generations as we have it now.
Like the do no harm principle in medicine.
Yes, it is. And it's also what's carried in many cultures, such as Maori culture, has much the same principles that were expressed in different ways sometimes.
All right, well, submissions close this evening, end of today, and people can go onto the GFreeNZ website and there's a template there and they can fill it out and make a submission that way. Anything to say before we wind up the chat, Noel?
I think if we want to have our maintain our rights, we have to stand up for it. So I would suggest everyone goes and makes a submission. And it can be a short submission. It's maybe just to have Fazans understand there are people that care.
Yeah. Hopefully that makes some sort of difference, right?
Yep. Yes, do.
Okay, Noel Josephson, thank you for coming on RCR, co-founder and chair of Ceres Organic. I appreciate the chat. And I mean, it sounds like a stuck record for me now. Let's see what happens.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.